If we choose to view the various militaries in the film as symbolic of the people, and I know this is a stretch, and that the militaristic and class-bound nature of the film makes it highly propagandistic. But if we take that stretch to see these militaries of nations as stand-ins for the people, and the hateful aliens as metaphors for global power, it's possible to see in Independence Day strategic guidance. I've thought this for a while, but needed our developed discussions of the nation and sufficient time to dull my irritation that Vivica Fox was denied her top billing. Actually, it hasn't dulled. It's a living grievance. Needed time and our discussions to stand that thought upright in truest light. A week or so ago, I listened to a woman being interviewed for the news who was protesting the bait and switch of a chain grocer who'd promised living wages and delivered less than chump change. And the interviewer said, "So you see the union as a weapon in your hands?" And she replied, "No, I'm the union. I'm the weapon." Now that's an example of thinking in earth terms, direct, full of heart. It has a pulse. It's life-based. No intermediating abstract concepts. It's her body she's defending, not some abstraction, not a term rendered acceptable by frequent repetition in the piped-in media. It's her body she's defending. It's life that must be honored. And it's personal. We are the animating, generative force behind all innovation. We are the ones who must decide what is, or if is, the nation, what should exist beyond our cooperative association through our extended tribes. What to call the form it makes, direct and self-determined, that eschews the bait and switch of keepers, of sheepdogs put in place to keep us sheep. These are decisions we must make, not keepers. And certainly not conveyed to us as inevitable outcomes of some fanciful law of economics or of historical stages. In plain light, now we see clearly such notions are exposed for the phantasmagoria that they are. On the page Embracing Global Goals, Scope and Action, Becoming Global Actors, Claiming the All, we're going to discuss this quote as it's very suggestive. And this is from Karl Marx and Frederick Engels, the Communist Manifesto. Quote, "The essential condition for the existence and for the sway of the bourgeois class is the formation and augmentation of capital. The condition for capital is wage labor." My interjection. Now you see how this is a good example of logical thinking, right? Which unfortunately we don't hear much on from the official spokespeople. It's just, this is what I want. Now let's imagine that it's going to happen. No, you have to think. You have to have an analysis. It could be flawed. But at least put your analysis out there, please. The logic steps between point A, B, C, D, you know? So what he's saying, they are saying, is that they've thought about it, okay? Let's always think about it before we, you know, accept the propaganda we hear over the airwaves. The essential condition for the existence and for the sway of the bourgeois class is the formation and augmentation of capital. And that, in a way, is just a tautology. You can't have a class, quote unquote, devoted to the augmentation of capital if you don't have the augmentation of capital. And how do you get the augmentation of capital? Okay, I guess I'm jumping too far ahead. This is our discussion for Embracing Global Goals. But so much of the thinking on the left and the thinking that we're given to work with as young people coming into this, into our body's truth of of resistance to what is because it doesn't feel right. So much of what we're given as thought is tautology because it is a system that is containing us. And so all the thoughts that we're permitted to think, end up being circular. They just circle you right back to where you are. And this is up for me because I just checked the book World Order from Kissinger out of the library yesterday, and I'm probably not going to read it word for word because I have, you know, other things that are more pressing. But just starting it, it is a worldview unto itself, and that is, in fact, what power does. It presents the world it has created as the only reality possible in order to sustain it over time. And Kissinger told us in his book on China that the role of statesmen is to claim that future, define the future. So we have to wrest that prerogative away from them. It's not going to just dissipate of its own. That's what we don't hear discussed. You know, that iron grip that they have on naming us, naming the reality, claiming the future, doesn't go away by our simply saying, you know, you don't need to do this anymore. See what it's caused? It's caused the destruction of the planet and, you know, amazing disparities of wealth and amazing misery and displacement and the inability for human beings to be human beings on the earth. And so you see that it's quite clear that you need to let go of your iron grip on control of everything. I mean, and that in a sense is all, is A to Z of strategy so far on the left that we're allowed to see, except when we call the question, as in Hong Kong, as in Egypt. And if we don't learn how to have the backs of our brothers and sisters so they can have ours, we're going to be witnessing a lot more punishment of those who stand up. And I'm tired of it. Right? Remember Bob Marley's words as he was pleading for us to see what's going on? How long will they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? How long will they punish the most courageous while we stand aside and look? What is a left for? What? All right. But truly, what is a left for if not to move us all forward to a different future, one that's defined by all the people? And when you see your brothers and sisters trying to do that and say nothing, you are sustaining the legitimacy of states keeping us subjects. Let's have that discussion.